A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Donovan Bailey running things on the airwaves for another week. We appreciate you being a part of the program. You can always be a part of it, right? You know, like, share, follow, subscribe. We like when you do all those good things and make our show that much better. Jason Portwando alongside the semi-vacationing Donovan Bailey, looking like, look at that smile. How you living? Wagwan.
I'm doing good, man. It's a little hot. So I apologize. Sitting outside, and we're trying to get, we're trying to get this Wi-Fi thing to work.
That's okay.
But I'm good. I'm good. How are you doing?
We can fill in the gaps. I'm doing all right. I'm not looking as handsome as you are, but that's never been the case. So all things are normal. But yeah, don't worry. This is a live podcast, right? So whatever happens, happens. We just roll with it and just keep on grinding. Are you back in the house next week?
I am back in the house. I'm back in the studio. So whatever issues we have right now, it'll be solved.
All right. All right. This is going to be fun.
Solved next week from each other.
Yeah.
Getting it done.
All right. Perfect. Well, I know you're on the, the sunnier side of things, but, around these parts, municipal election taking place and a bunch of people like Tory and Bonnie and names like Patrick all re-upping in their respective cities. But we want to speak of things on a higher level because Rishi Sunak is making a huge splash in the UK, becoming the first person of color to be Britain's prime minister. And I know it kind of feels like they have one every year. I think he's the fifth over the last 6 years. But yeah, obviously this is monumental. And this is our headline story of the week.
Yeah, you know what? Yes, I'm following all the local politicking news happening in Toronto. But what's happening in the UK is absolutely monumental. It reminds me of a little bit like Barack Obama.
Okay.
You know, I mean, ultimately, it might even be bigger because England was the greatest country at one point, rummaging through the world and colonizing and doing all that stuff. And I think they happened to go to India, didn't they? So I think it's really good right now to see a person of color running one of the biggest economies in the world, a person of color that billions of people can aspire to be like. And for me, as you know, Jason, for me, I'm always playing it forward. So it's good to see. I mean, I think it's really exceptional. But from a political side, I thought that he was going to actually get this post a while back. And the last prime minister that lasted a couple of weeks, it was just two of them that was running for that position. And I think she kind of kicked him out of the way or as they say in Jamaica, kick him foot. So at the end of the day, this is expected.
Right.
I think you'd do a good job. And sounds like he's got an incredible team behind him. The other thing is, what I liked about this is, he's a very qualified prime minister who happens to be brown. And you and I have that discussion all the time. I think that was the same that I thought of Barack Obama. I might not even have seen his, what his political affiliation was. But the fact is that there was someone there that looked like him, that, like people around the world can aspire to be as powerful as that person is.
Yes. And we should qualify the situation by saying, yes, he is of Indian descent, so we're making, history here. He was born in England, but his parents both of Indian descent, and you know, you take a look at his resume, and that's the more important thing, as you discussed. You know, this is a guy who is qualified for the job. How long will he keep the job? Well, that's another story. But, you know, recently had his first day in office, gave his first speech, and, you know, it was a positive effect on the community. A lot of, you know, grave glories, glorifying reviews, I should say. And, you know, I just think, you know, hey, it's 2022. Right? I mean, it's a first, but a lot of people will say, why not? It's time. It's about time.
Well, you know what's funny? Again, let's talk about the fact that he's qualified. Let's talk about he's someone.
He was the money man.
Politics. Let's talk about, let's talk about the fact that he's one of the smartest politicians that's probably in the UK. So I'm saying that he is extremely qualified. You and I have this discussion all the time. I don't ever want people of color or women or gender or whatever, I don't want them to fill posts for anyone. There are so many qualified people. You just want the right person to have the job.
100%.
And so he's definitely qualified. And for me, it's definitely a thumbs up from this side.
Yeah. And now there's been a lot of turnover, as talked about. I think it's the, as I said, the fifth prime minister in the last 6 years for England, the UK. So yeah, there's a lot going on. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, as we often say, getting there is sometimes not the hard part. Staying there is the hard part. So we'll see if he actually remains in that position. But, you know, this is a start, obviously.
I think it's, you know what, I think he knows what to, because he was the money man, right?
Right.
He knows what the absolute expectations are. The last prime minister that lasted a couple of weeks probably did not and probably didn't get a whole lot of support based on campaign, based on whatever it is that happens. So I think all that being said, he will, well, I mean, I guess he's got my vote to survive. You know, he definitely has support within the party. And again, I'm not a political analyst. I'm just really giving my opinion based solely upon what I read a lot and what I hear.
Right. So his predecessor, Liz Truss, you know, had her issues, obviously. And, you know, this is the second PM in months. So words like that are very rarely uttered. So it's a long road ahead of him, but at least he's got a chance to, you know, be in that position. And the fact that we're talking about a man of color arriving at 10 Downing Street in London, you know, words that many of us thought would never be uttered during our lifetime. But right now he is the United Kingdom's PM designate, and this was big news. I remember when you mentioned it to me, I was like, wow, yeah, we totally got to roll with this.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I thought that you know, hey, we're always, no matter what happens, we're always going to discuss the world of sports, but this is a significant cultural shift. This is significant for all people. You know, this is a chance for everyone, you know, to understand that again, extremely qualified people are all over the place. And, you know, for young people, playing it forward for young people to aspire to the highest office, to the highest honors, to the highest awards, like whatever it is, you know. So, again, congratulations. I think it's awesome.
Closer to home, we spoke of the municipal elections taking place. John Tory back in office in Toronto. Bonnie Crombie, same thing in Mississauga. Patrick Brown, the same thing as well in Brampton, just to name a few. But the biggest surprise didn't have to do with anybody who won or lost, DB. They're talking about record numbers in terms of people not voting. Are you surprised with this?
Well, I mean, you know what? I'm never ever surprised with people not voting. There are times that people don't like their choices, you know, and you know, sometimes I've played that role. I just don't like whoever is representing me, so I just don't put a vote in. I mean, that's probably not smart to do, because I think that it's very important. You can't really complain.
Exactly.
If you don't get the person you want, you cannot complain. So I never really complain, especially about politics in Canada, because politics in Canada for me, I mean, I know it well. I have a lot of friends, you know, on the federal and municipal and provincial level. But the life really doesn't adjust terribly between parties in leadership. And so my life doesn't really change a whole lot. But yeah, you know what? congratulations for them also. I encourage people to vote. But yes, I'm not surprised that a whole lot of people are not getting out to the polls and voting.
Right. It's their choice. So that's fine.
Right.
But like you said, right. If you don't agree with the outcome, you can't say anything because you
can't
had
complain.
Your chance. Right. Exactly. You can't complain. So that's the way we start this episode of Donovan Bailey Running Things. Jason Portwando alongside Donovan, who is just chilling Bailey style in Jamaica, back with us live in the flesh coming up next week, but enjoying his time away right now. And obviously, we got to talk athletics. You know, we've touched on, the ladies' situation recently in terms of their athletes of the year. In terms of the guys, there are a bunch of names that are up, you know, in terms of being the king, if you will, on the other side of the equation. Kenyan marathoner comes to mind. Kipserum. Mm-hmm. You know, Marius right. Kipserum, and, you know, he's one that's done some great things, but all of a sudden now looks a little bit tainted when recently handed a 3-year ban from athletics following a doping violation involving EPO, and that was obviously something that's going to, you know, kind of dampen the spirits of the Kenyans and the 34-year-old.
Well, you're a man that knows all the things about running. I'm the sprinter. So I definitely know that you follow the marathoners and you know how exceptional these human beings are.
Oh, unbelievable.
You know, but you see, Jason, my problem is, as always, is people that dope intentionally. I obviously I don't know if this is intentional or not, but
right.
But EPO sounds like you can't eat that in meat, or it's not someone put it in your drink,
right?
So, I have a huge problem with dopers. I always have. I've answered questions for even to this day. Someone will ask me these questions about why people do this, and my answer is still a sense of insecurity. They think that someone else is doing it, so they can do it too. I've proven my whole life that you can get up, train hard, surround yourself with the right people, greatest support system, be mentally, physically, and psychologically be prepared for every single thing that you, every event that you're doing, and you can make it to the top and become the greatest in your event. So I have no sympathy for someone who intentionally dopes, and that's always been my stance, and that will never change as long as I'm alive.
Right. Okay. So the Athletics Integrity Unit, mm-hmm. they spoke with Kipserum, and mm-hmm. twice he denied doping, and then he finally mm-hmm. admitted to it on October the 11th. So what was potentially a 4-year ban has been reduced to 3 following his admission. But you're right. It's one thing to be, mistakenly taking something that contained an illegal substance you weren't sure of, you didn't know of, but right. it's completely mm-hmm. different when you know what you're doing.
Well, you know what? Funny enough, I thank you for that information. I did not know that he admitted it.
Yes.
Now I have had a tad more respect for him at the fact is that he didn't try to make excuses and try and figure some excuse out or, get into some legal battle. He just said, hey, man, listen, I did it, So, I mean, again, wrong for doing it, but certainly much appreciated that he's accepted responsibility.
And he's not the first, obviously. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. But when it comes to Kenyans recently, it seems that there's been a lot of those names in the press making all the wrong headlines. But as long as sports is around, people are always going to look for that edge, and you're always going to have people trying to, get as close to that line as they can without crossing it. Once they do, many are going to get caught.
You know what? It's not just, it's a thing that a lot of people got to understand. It's socioeconomic background. It's,
right.
it's money. Mm-hmm. It's money. It's a lot of this is it's money. It's not just medals, because medals bring you millions, tens of millions of dollars. So it's actually money. So, as you just said, Jason, I'm just adding to that.
Right.
When there is spotlight And when there is a possibility for you to earn a lot of money, maybe get yourself out of a situation, a generational situation, and set you up into a generational wealth situation, then of course there's going to be people attempting to, to not put the work in and to take shortcuts. Unfortunately, that's what happens when you take shortcuts. You've got WADA, and you've got several associations at least looking, and in 2022 I would expect that these athletes would be smarter than this, knowing that there's several tests that can find you, and when they find you and you're guilty, you deserve to be punished. Yeah.
On a more positive note, Kipchoge, also Kenyan, up for male athlete of the year. He did make the long list, so some positive news there, which is right. Which is great to see. But there's the Russian hurdler who, maybe looking at some peril of her own, and that could have an effect on some other athletes, because we should keep in mind, once somebody loses a medal of any color, it's going to have somebody else promoted to the podium.
Well, I have 2 points to that.
Okay.
One, I love the fact that, the IOC or the governing bodies anyways are trying to adjust and correct all of the atrocities of some athlete losing their moment in the sun. I think it's crazy. Here's the thing. It only happens once. You can never get it back. You do get your medals and all of that. But I also feel that, for those athletes, for instance, if an athlete was a silver medalist or a bronze medalist, at the last games and the gold medalist tested positive, and obviously everyone gets moved up, how bad is the financial situation that athlete lost? I mean, there's a huge difference between silver and gold. And so, I don't know, man. I just think that, there should be some more penalties. I don't know who would be the person responsible for paying. Maybe the IOC. Actually, maybe it would be that country's federation.
Okay.
That's probably what would be. That country's federation. So, for instance, if Demas was second in 2012, in women's four hurdles. Now, if she lost $10 million, hey, man, Russia owes her. You know what I mean?
That's interesting tip.
I think that there has, not only do you have a medal ceremony, but there should be like an automatic amount of money or something that goes to that athlete.
Okay, well, you mentioned Kalise Spencer of Jamaica, and as a result of the Russian Natalia has talked about getting stripped from 2012. Spencer moves from fourth to third, so she now gets a spot on the podium. You spoke of Demas now moving to the top, but yeah, so the trickle-down effect. I mean, it took a while, but at least it's, they're getting the right story. They're getting the right result, because some will say, well, this was 10 years ago. It was, but
I don't care when it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, that's part of what this is. I don't care when it is, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I guess wrong is wrong, and this is basically a criminal thing. You're stealing and defrauding your audience and the public and your competitors, and then you're stealing. So at the end of the day, you're responsible for these things. You should be responsible. So yes, Kalise, I mean, great on her. One of the most consistent 400-meter women's hurdlers that never actually landed on the podium. This would be great for her. This would be great for her to get that medal. But not only that, I think Kalise deserves some money.
Yeah, jeez. That's it. Well, you know what? You are the running. You are the running man. You are running tings. So
no, sprinting man. But that's all right. You're a runner.
Doesn't matter. No, you know what
you
I mean.
Jog.
I jog. That's right. I'm all about, just trying to marathon it. You're the quick sprinter, so I'll leave that to you. But yeah, so I mean, it's worth noting, and we'll continue to monitor these situations. And maybe you're right. Maybe this is something they do eventually. But for now, I mean, it's a feel good moment for Spencer, Demas moving up. But yeah, obviously for the Russian hurdler, it's a bit of a different story. Time to move on. Let's talk some baseball because you have waited and waited and waited and waited and waited before giving me your World Series pick. We're now down to two, Mr. Bailey. Representing the National League, we have the wild card Philadelphia Phillies. I think it's their first World Series since 2009, I want to say. Meanwhile, Houston, it seems like they're there every damn year, so it's no surprise that they're back once again. And you know what? The haters have called them cheaters. But, I mean, if you get there again, I don't know. I'm starting to think that, you know, they deserve some accolades. And they swept the New York Yankees. Nobody out there could have possibly predicted that. So, Houston representing the American League, which is kind of weird because I still think of them as a National League team. But, anyways, so it's Houston taking on Philadelphia. Your thoughts on the matchup? Not the sexiest matchup, but it's what we're working with.
Well, first of all, you already know my answer from last week.
Right? Oh, so now it's official.
Well, Houston's going to take it.
Okay.
Houston's going to take it, and they're the workhorse of the league. So they're gonna get in there and take it. I mean, I'm not, you know, that's it. There's not a whole lot for me to say. You know, the winner of the American League was going to take it, as I said. I actually thought that the Yankees were going to give them.
I didn't think
they were going to lay down as bad as they did. But yeah. They're going to take it.
Well, I look at it this way. Houston, better team, better record. Clearly the favorites to win. Philadelphia's going to win. Just like that. That's the way it's going to happen. Philadelphia has one more upset in them, and they're going to pull off the unthinkable. I know, call me crazy. Call me what you want. But I really feel like Philadelphia, they're just on a run of destiny. I really feel like this is their year. Houston, by far the better team. Hitting, pitching, whatever, managing, call it what you want. Nicer ballpark. They've got everything going for them. But sometimes when things look so good, so obvious, it always turns out to be the other way. But you're right. In terms of the Yankees, no one could have possibly predicted them to get swept. But perhaps the bigger question now is, Aaron Judge, does he stay? Or, you know, will he stay or will he go?
I'm not worried about Aaron. Aaron's going to get paid. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Aaron has had a spectacular season. He bet on himself and he's going to collect. He's going to get the bag. But Jason, bigger, stronger, faster.
Yeah.
He's going to win. So here's what I would challenge you.
Okay.
So if Houston was playing Philadelphia for one game.
Right.
Maybe. Because it's one game.
Right.
And it's one game that you're rolling the dice on. But, sir, the World Series will be in the state of Texas. That's all. But it's your money.
I hear you.
Go ahead.
I hear you. On paper, they are clearly the better team. Last time I checked, they don't play on paper. And I just feel like this is Philadelphia's year. This was a team that started out the Major League Baseball season horrible. So bad,
right.
Fired their manager. And it'd be interesting to look back to see what was the last team to win the World Series. And I don't know this. I know you think of me as the stats guy. I don't know the answer to this one. But
you are the stats guy.
The last team to win a World Series,
right,
that fired their manager in the same season. I don't know. Yeah. But
you
think of that. You think of that, right? I mean, regardless of the sport, it's kind of hard to do that. You know, get a new coach, get a new manager, whatever you want to call them, and have success. I mean, even look at you. I mean, that's like you going to the Olympics and changing coaches weeks before going to the Olympics. Is that not tough to do?
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know if it's, well, it's, well, I would say that it's not tough to do because Well, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't recommend that at all.
Right.
You know,
just the chemistry.
Yeah, but again, this is still an individual thing, and you know, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend making all those changes on a run. But if you're banking on the team being cohesive at this point, then man, so be it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I hear you. But the only reason why I'm leaning in that direction, as talked about. Sometimes things just look so, so easy, like a foregone conclusion, and it just, for some reason, right, does not turn out to be that way. But, you know, having said that, you're making the smart pick, and maybe I'm just, you know, looking down the wrong path, and I'm completely way off target here. I mean, that could be the case. But, okay, so now, before we wrap up this segment, what kind of odds would you give me then, since I'm clearly taking the underdog, if we were making a little bet here? You give me 3-1, 4-1? What are you going to give me?
I think that Philly is going to win one game.
One game. Okay. Yeah. So you give me 3-1 odds and we can make a bet. How about that?
Sure.
All right. Perfect. You heard it here. You heard it right here. Right here. On the show that we always ask that you please like, share, follow, subscribe. We're going to also ask that you please download. I'm going to throw a new one at you. Keep this in mind. I'm going to mark down this episode, and I will mark down the time where I say to you, Philadelphia will somehow find a way to win, and I'm going to get paid. You know what? Here's the bet. We switch spots. I go to Jamaica next time. You.
Done.
Here inside the Toronto Mike Studios, right?
You can have this seat right here.
You have apples and oranges while I eat mangoes. Oh, by the way, can you please bring me back some Julie Mango?
Sure. I have apples, oranges.
I don't want no apples and oranges. I can get that here.
Right from the tree. Right from the tree, Jason. Not Canada stuff. This is vine ripen where I can sit under the tree and peel it, eat it myself.
All right. I like that. One piece of business before we wrap things up on this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. And it's time for us now to, run that anchor leg.
A cleaning stream to Donovan Bailey is pouring it on.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, this is where we have a bit of a blitz, a bit of an attack on Mr. DB, where we throw some topics at him and he just, you know, gives us his quick take. But if you know Donovan, the only time he is quick is on the track. Anything else, he just takes his time.
I'm slow.
Yes, slow. Yes, easy. Yes, easy. So first things first, basketball. Let's talk Zion Williamson. And unfortunately, Zion hurt again. This time it's the posterior, a hip problem. Well, I don't know. Anyways, are we starting to lose confidence in this guy just because, you know, his body takes a beating, it seems, year after year? I think it's 2019 he was drafted out of Duke. So third year now that it just seems like he's always hurt.
You know what? Zion is a special athlete.
And
you can't really blame him for an injury. Now, he's not Ben Simmons. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Zion gets the ball and he's going to the hoop and he only has one way to play. He has one gear and he's going to be one of the better athletes in the league, even at his size. It's just tough for me. I mean, for someone, I ruptured my Achilles at the tail end of my career. And that basically finished my career. So I can really understand how frustrating this kid is when he really wants to be, like he just wants to get out there and show what he's got. He really does. Like he just wants to ball out and he also wants to bring his young team. He thinks that they all think that he can bring this young team, you know, to the final. So man, really tough. I was watching the game and yeah, it's real tough. So I'm hoping that, you know, he's got some really good physios. Jeez. and he can get this. He can get back to the game.
Yeah, feel bad for the kid, man. Jeez, just
so do I.
One thing after another. We know he's an amazing talent, but
amazing.
Let's talk a little bit about the NBA season and looking a little bit like baseball. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention, DB, but they've been playing these kind of mini series. So, like the Raptors recently played 2 games. 3 nights at Miami. More recently, coming up, Philadelphia's in Toronto for a couple of games. So do you like this? They're trying to cut down on travel. Do you like these little mini series that they're doing, or do you prefer the way it was before the one and done?
No, I actually like it. I prefer it. I mean, I think that obviously, COVID is still around, and these guys really have to, they're still, you know, trying to mitigate damages, if any. They also want fans to come out and watch. And I love the home and home thing. I love it. I think that,
but it's not home and home though. It's two being played.
No, I know it's not. No,
okay.
Wait. No, let me qualify that.
Okay.
I'm saying to you that I love playing in one place.
Right.
you know, twice because you got more fans. It's just better for me.
It's kind of a rivalry.
I love it because, I mean, what you're doing, I think, for the NBA, what it looks like is that you're actually playing a series during the middle of the season. So you can actually see how people are and you know, under pressure, we'll say. You know, obviously, most of these teams want to win, try and get at least one game. But you know that there are teams that are thinking, nah, a weaker team's coming in, and we're going to take both. So, you know, I like this kind of semi-mini series throughout the year. And I think it's going to make it way more interesting during the playoffs.
All right. Fair enough. Let's talk a little football. And we've had this situation brought up in the NFL. We're talking about football, European style, where Crystal Palace boss Patrick Vieira said, quote, "Doors are not open for black managers," end of quote. Now, he's the only black manager in the Premier League. And if you take a look at the report that was recently released, 43% of the Premier League are made up of black players, but only 4.4% managers. So this is kind of like, you know, the other type of football league that we're talking about, the NFL. So, you know, a situation, again, rearing its ugly head.
Well, number one, I think that, you know, that certainly is the way that all sports leagues have been. It seems that the commodities, who are the players, can be of any color, especially if they're black. Mm-hmm. And obviously management and ownership seems to take a different hue. So, you know, for me, what's good about football, as in, you know, European football, is that there's already a business model in baseball or basketball. You know, so you really have to just get pressure on the owners and the hierarchy and until you have qualified people who happen to be of other gender or race doing, you know, in those management and executive seats and or ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have nothing more to add. You're right. I mean, it's just frustrating that, you know, they see them good enough to play, just not good enough to lead. And there's an issue with that. NFL, Tom Brady's Aaron Rodgers. Yes, I said Tom Brady's Aaron Rodgers. Both are under 500. I think it's like only the third time ever this has happened. And the two number 12s could both conceivably miss the playoffs. That is stunning. What is more stunning, that or the fact that Tua was back and played as, you know, as well as he did, all things considered, and his team's actually in a better position right now than both the Bucs and the Packers?
Okay, so two things.
Okay.
Tua is a competitor. Tua was a great quarterback at Alabama, and he's a great quarterback now. And he certainly, and I think he wants to quiet the people that keep talking about his concussion, and he just wants to get out and play football. So I expect that he's going to go out firing on all cylinders, you know. And so that being said, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, who are the two, who are, you know, two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the position, I'm very certain are pissed off, at themselves and at their team, you know. But you know that these guys, they don't need to.
We fill in the blanks. We were doing so well there with Donovan being on location, but we'll get him back. But just to pick up the conversation, you know, both Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, 3-4. Situation not as, you know, desperate for the Packers, because 3-4 is actually still good enough for them to lead their division. That's how bad the NFC South is. Bucks 3-4, Falcons 3-4, Carolina, New Orleans both at 2-5. But could you imagine both Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers missing the postseason? Oh, man, I don't even know the last time that's happened, if it's ever happened. But it is what it is. But yeah, Tua Tagovailoa, we need to mention that, because Tua's team right now, they're pretty good at 4-3. And I got to be honest, I kind of had mixed emotions last week watching Tua. I was like, man, it's great to see him back out there. But man, I don't want to see him back out there. In fact, during the game against the Steelers on Sunday Night Football, he took a hit. And I'm telling you, I cringed. I held my breath. I kind of turned away from the TV because I didn't want to see what happened. But Tua got up, and he was fine. And the Miami Dolphins ended up winning that ball game. And at 4-3, man, they're in a tough division because obviously the Buffalo Bills are solid. But then the New York Jets, who could have possibly predicted that? I mean, the New York Jets at 5-2? Are you kidding me? And New York's other team, the Giants, 6-1? If you had the New York football teams at 11-3, damn, give yourself a pat on the back. Nobody could have possibly predicted that. I mean, the Jets have won 4 in a row. The Giants have won 4 in a row. And by the way, just going to quickly shout out the NFC East here while we wait to get Donovan back. The NFC East has 17 wins. 17 wins. Nobody, I don't care who you are out there, could have expected the NFC East to have the most wins in football. 17. And I'm giving you just the top three teams. I didn't even add in the three from the Commanders. So that makes it 20. Unreal. Unreal. But that was Donovan's take on Tua. And that was, man, good on Tua for getting to that point. But I'm going to make a prediction here. I am going to say that Brady or Rodgers, one of the two, will miss out on the postseason. And this is beautiful because we don't have Donovan back, so he can't even say anything. He can't even answer. So I kind of feel like right now I'm kind of running things. This is pretty good right now. So I will take over. He probably just wanted to slip out and get a drink. But anyways, we wanted to touch on that, which we have, and also wanted to touch on the Brittany Griner situation because a Russian court on Tuesday rejecting an appeal by the U.S. basketball star for her nine-year prison sentence for drug possession. And with that being upheld, now they said, you know, with time already, you know, paid type thing, that the 32-year-old might end up being in there for 8 years. But still, this is, yeah, just not a good situation for her and many across sports. Just making her, you know, realize that, hey, we're still thinking of you. And her name is still quite prominent. And, yeah, we'll keep an eye on that situation. So just a couple of quick hits there in terms of the anchor leg. And this is kind of funny because usually I'm the one running the anchor leg. But, you know, with Donovan, the man in the spotlight. But I get a chance to run it by myself. Sometimes you just got to be greedy and just, you know, run the baton by yourself. Kanye West is the last conversation we wanted to have on this program. His recent comments, oh, geez, and as a result of that, yeah, not good. He's now known as just Ye, but he is losing his sponsors. Adidas now partnered with West since 2013. That is no longer, you know, his own media group, his following, you know, his brand. Also not following him. So, yeah, there is a lot that, you know, call him Kanye, call him Yeezy, call him Ye, where there's anti-Semitic, you know, references, just not a good look. And as a result, yeah, Adidas is the latest one to part ways with Kanye. We are going to part ways with you just for now. We apologize for the technical difficulties and losing one Donovan Bailey. So, hey, you know, does this mean I get the last word? I get the last word because ain't nobody else here but me. This is fun. So, as always, we thank you for the company. Jason Portwando saying, until next time, as Donovan would say, stay safe, be good. Appreciate you being a part of this edition of Donovan Bailey Running Things. He'll be back next week, and he'll be joining us live right here in studio. Until then.